For some reason, I've been really resistant to wearing glasses to read. Even as my eyes are going through the aging process that affects nearly all of us, I'm becoming farsighted. I put off wearing drugstore cheaters to read as long as possible until sometime after I turn 50, and I still often go without them, squinting to see, which means sometimes I'm lectured that this will wrinkle up my face. Maybe because I'm a visual artist, maybe because what I most want to impart to the artists who come to paint with me is that they can expand their capacity to see, but I'm preoccupied with vision. Sometime last year, my dad was diagnosed with early stage macular degeneration. He was advised that all of his children over 50 should be tested too. I went right in to have my eyes checked out. The optometrist found a few very small drusen on my retina, which I was told was normal for someone my age. But then later that day, a Thursday, I got a voicemail from her. She said upon review of the photos taken, she saw a small hemorrhage on my retina. A small hemorrhage? I tried calling back but missed her and was told that she was out on Fridays. So I spent the weekend wondering what it might be like to not have my eyes. Not only does eyesight offer us freedom and independence, but it's color and light and allows me to make my paintings. Then I went to a speaking circle and realized the connection between human beings and what happens when eyes meet. So much is conveyed across the space from one heart to another through our eyes. I'm guessing that vision-impaired people connect hearts in other ways as the other senses become more acute. But the thought of finding this out firsthand was crushing. I went back to see what she saw. When the photo of my retina was expanded so it was larger than the 14-inch monitor, the hemorrhage was about the size of the head of a pin. Okay, so I'm not going to get all freaked about that tiny thing. Whew. But the brush with the possibility of losing my eyesight has me even more tuned in to seeing. I was online one evening about a month and a half ago and saw one of those ads, like the 5 foods you should never eat again. It was 10 minutes a day for 1 week to regain 20/20 vision. It hooked me. I bit. I watched about 25 minutes of the infomercial video before the hypiness of it wore me out, but I got enough information to start an online search. I found out about what's called the Bates Method. Dr. Bates was an ophthalmologist who, in around the turn of the last century, began developing exercises to help people improve their eyesight without glasses or surgery. An important aspect of this work involves resting the muscles around the eyes, which relieves the strain that impairs vision. I bought a book on it and have started sporadically to do some of the exercises. I've been almost entirely without my cheaters for over a month now. My near vision is still blurry, but it has improved slightly, and I'm amazed at how I can see well enough to read without squinting, which is itself another form of strain. One of the things they suggest you do is, when walking or driving or moving through space in some way, to look through your peripheral vision to see the trees, bushes, buildings seem as if they are in motion. When I do this, it's as if I'm staying in one place and the rest of the world is moving by me. It's the coolest thing. This has given me moments where I experience the three-dimensional nature of our world very acutely. On a walk with Beau in our neighborhood, I saw a big tree and the space it occupies, almost as if it's a holograph. All of this leads me to the possibility that I can shift how it is that information is received in my brain through my eyes. It's as if I've been seeking out, hunting even, visual input. What is developed is the desire to simply allow it to enter in a more passive, yes, even feminine way. It's quieter, more meditative, and it brings up another of the distinctions we learned in the leadership program I wrote about last week, particles and space. We spent an entire retreat attempting to focus, instead of on the particles, the things all around us, to focus on the spaces between the things. In art, it's the negative space. In the big tree, it's seeing the distances between the branches as they go up and out into space. But this can be difficult. Things captivate us. They really grab our attention with their beingness. I'm finding this challenging to articulate. It's a shift in perspective and perception that's hard to describe, but I'm compelled by it. I'm curious as to how it might change the art that comes through me. I do know that my ability to see what's really there, in a reference image or in real life, has grown immensely through all these paintings I've done. It's also what I most want to invite in others, other artists, in their learning process. Our retinas transmit 10 million bits of information every second to our brains. Wow, every second? In order to not be completely overwhelmed by this information, our brains have a filter that processes that information based on what we've already seen, what we believe and value. Quite often, I watch us, yes, me too, as we make our paintings. We make decisions in color and shape and brushstroke based on what we think we see. It takes slowing down, resting our eyes on what we're looking at to allow what's actually there to go beyond the filter and register in our brains. The first time this really crystallized for me was when I was painting Fauchon Éclairs. My inclination was to paint the shine on the chocolate glaze a lighter version of the dark chocolate brown, but something stopped me. I made a hole in a piece of paper and put it over the shiny part of my reference image. It was a violet blue. Okay, so I trusted what I saw and I painted it a violet blue. No one has ever asked me why I painted it blue, or even noticed for that matter. I can look at this painting and shift my vision from seeing shiny, brightly colored pastries to seeing abstract shapes and colors. Can you? When I first started really painting, I noticed this shift happen all the time, even when I wasn't trying to make art, but just going about my day. I'd see the light on a leaf and wonder how I'd paint it, or clouds, or the shine on the hardwood floor. Now I hear the same thing over and over from people who are new to painting too. We really notice what is around us, even without intending to. To me, this is a waking up. It's a paying attention in a more careful and reverential and even honest way. It makes me wonder how much our capacity to see can keep growing and what that might make possible, not just in our art making, but in our lives. And it has me profoundly grateful for these incredible organs of perception, our eyes. Love, Kara.